Tonight, several developing stories as we come on the air. Russia mourns the victims of the terrorist attack at a concert hall. A major cross-country storm. More than a dozen states under winter alerts. And the clock is ticking for Donald Trump, who has only hours to come up with nearly $500 million. But first, the attack in Moscow. A day of mourning as the death toll there rises. Crowds pay tribute at the concert hall, even as the search for more victims continues. The suspects hauled into a police station. ISIS is claiming responsibility, but Vladimir Putin insists there is a link to Ukraine. Also tonight, the new storm hammering the heartland with more than a foot of snow possible in some areas, including blizzard conditions, plus the threat of severe storms, including tornadoes in the south, and the search for a six-year-old girl swept away by rushing waters in Pennsylvania. The looming deadline for Donald Trump, he has until tomorrow to secure a bond for $464 million in his civil fraud case, but can he pay it in time? And if he does not, could he lose some of his landmark properties? Aaron Katursky on the former president's dilemma. The war in Gaza. Vice President Kamala Harris tells our Rachel Scott an Israeli attack on Rafah would be a huge mistake, and she's not ruling out consequences if Israel presses forward. Matt Gutman reports from the region following the week-long raid at Gaza's largest hospital. United on notice. The FAA is now increasing its oversight of United Airlines after a series of troubling incidents. New reporting on what action the agency could take. The deadly incident on a cruise ship in the Bahamas. The news just coming in on how two crew members died. A deadly attack by a mountain lion in California, the first verified one in that county in nearly three decades. One brother killed, another injured. Blowing the whistle on the referee. Why, this official was removed mid-game during March Madness. And America strong tonight. The neonatal nurses and the baby who stole their hearts.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. Russia is in mourning tonight after the loss of more than 130 people in that terrorist attack at a concert hall in the capital, and the death toll is rising. Some families are still awaiting word on their loved ones who remain missing since gunmen opened fire on the popular and crowded venue. Once again today, crowds gathered, leaving flowers and remembering the victims. Russian President Vladimir Putin lighting a candle. He has signaled without evidence that Ukraine is behind the massacre, which the Biden administration vehemently denies. The White House insists ISIS-K is solely responsible. And just before coming on the air tonight, Russia charged four suspects already in custody with terrorism offenses. ABC's Lama Hassan leads us off tonight from London, and a warning that some of the video in her report could be disturbing.
Tonight, a national day of mourning in Russia. Hundreds lining up to pay tribute at a growing makeshift memorial, laying down flowers. And President Putin lighting a candle in memory of the victims of that horrific concert hall attack on Friday. The death toll continues to rise. Authorities now say at least 137 are dead, more than 180 injured. Emergency personnel painstakingly sifting through wreckage at the scene today. Officials still working to identify some of the dead. Many still waiting for news of their loved ones. This man says he's still searching for his wife. He hasn't heard from her since she sent him pictures from inside the concert hall on Friday night. Newly obtained video by ABC News shows the terrifying moments the gunmen first stormed the complex. People scattering as gunshots ring out, building makeshift barriers. The person filming this video escaping up a nearby escalator. 15-year-old Islam Khalilov working in the hall's cloakroom being hailed as a hero after Russian state TV released video showing him directing dozens of people to safety. Russia says it arrested all four of the gunmen and seven alleged accomplices. Authorities releasing video today allegedly showing the suspects in FSB custody, saying four of them have now been charged with committing a terrorist act and that two suspects have admitted their guilt. ISIS has claimed responsibility for that attack, though Putin has blamed Ukraine, a notion Vice President Kamala Harris flatly rejected to ABC's Rachel Scott.
No, there is no whatsoever any evidence, and in fact, what we know to be the case is that ISIS-K is actually, by all accounts, responsible for what happened.
And Lindsay, following that horrific attack in Moscow tonight, the French Prime Minister raising the threat level there to the country's highest level, saying they took ISIS's claim of responsibility and general threats facing the country into account. Lindsay?
Yeah, multiple countries, including France, have now condemned that attack. Lama, thank you. Back here at home, millions are bracing for a major cross-country storm. It's already battering the heartland. These images coming in from Iowa, where heavy snow made for brutal driving conditions. That system is now moving east. Later in the week, the Northeast could see more heavy rain. Here's ABC meteorologist Samara Theodore.
Tonight, the massive winter storm, more than 1,000 miles wide, now racing across the heartland. Drivers sliding off the road on I-35 north of Des Moines. Plows racing to keep up with the heavy snow. 16 states on alert.
We have winter storm warnings and the pink blizzard warnings and winter weather advisories pretty much all across Minnesota.
In the east, a desperate search for 6-year-old Lanesha Brooker, swept away in a rain-swollen creek outside Philadelphia Saturday evening.
I haven't had sleep. I can't eat. Only thing I'm thinking about is finding her.
First responders looking for her all night long and through the day, using every asset at their disposal.
We have fresh sets of crews, fresh eyes, again, going up the Chester Creek and checking on both sides of the creek bank from where the subject went in all the way down to the mouth of the Delaware.
And tonight, word they've now transitioned to a recovery effort.
What a heart-wrenching outcome there. Samara joins us now. Samara, I know you're tracking that major cross-country storm. Can you time that out for us?
Yes, Lindsay. So this storm is a multi-day event. We have winter alerts right now spanning the northern plains, blizzard warnings in Nebraska, parts of Colorado, where they could see over a foot of snow and whiteout conditions while traveling on the roads. Meanwhile, the southern tier of the storm bringing the threat for severe weather tonight through Wichita down to Oklahoma City, and tomorrow that transitions to states like Louisiana and Mississippi, where we could see a few tornadoes out of these storms and damaging winds. Timing this all out, this storm system continues to sweep through tonight. You can see parts of Dallas seeing strong thunderstorms. Tomorrow morning, that commute could be a dangerous one for places like Arkansas and southern Missouri. And then as we head into tomorrow evening, that's when it arrives in Louisiana, Mississippi, before headed into the Great Lakes, bringing them heavy rain Tuesday morning. Lindsay?
Yeah, people need to take time. Samara, our thanks to you. And speaking of time, it is running out for former President Trump to secure a $464 million bond in his civil fraud trial. Trump's lawyers say he's facing insurmountable difficulties, but the New York Attorney General is already preparing for a possible seizure of Trump's assets. ABC's senior investigative correspondent Aaron Katursky joins us now. And Aaron, now just hours until the deadline, any indications that Trump is ready to pay?
I don't think he can pay. His lawyers have said, Lindsay, he can cover at most about a quarter of the civil fraud judgment, and anything more, they've said, would be a practical impossibility. Trump has claimed on social media he's sitting on $500 million cash, but he hasn't provided any evidence. His lawyers said he may have been referring to money accumulated over the years that he intended to spend on his campaign, but he's now complaining Democrats are trying to bleed him dry amid all his legal woes. Trump actually hasn't spent any of his own money on his campaign since 2016. And if he fails to post a bond, New York Attorney General Letitia James can begin freezing accounts and seizing assets. But there's no indication that has to start tomorrow, especially, Lindsay, with Trump's request for a reprieve pending before an appeals court.
We will soon know if it is an impossibility, as his attorneys say. Aaron, thank you. We turn now to the Israel-Hamas war and the intense battle at the Al-Shifa Hospital, one of the largest and longest raids since the war began nearly 6 months ago. ABC's Matt Gutman reports in tonight from Tel Aviv.
Tonight, Israel calling its ongoing week-long raid into Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital one of the largest and most successful operations of the six-month war. Palestinian witnesses calling it something else, hellish. The IDF says it detained over 800 men since the surprise raid began early last Monday, claiming 480 of them are Hamas and Islamic Jihad members. The military says it has killed at least 170 people and avoided civilian casualties.
Not a single patient, civilian, doctor, or medic staff were hurt.
The IDF releasing video showing troops delivering food, but saying it's in a standoff with militants who are holed up in certain parts of the hospital, along with civilians. In November, during Israel's first raid of Al-Shifa, we walked through the surrounding neighborhood, already in ruins.
You can see just the utter devastation around here. Every car destroyed, Almost every single building we see damaged from the fighting here. I've never seen anything like this before.
This time it has been nearly impossible to contact people inside. The telecommunication signal has been down all week. But the displaced from the hospital trudging miles in tattered sandals and in tears. This woman saying the walls collapsed, doors came down on my baby. Others simply too overcome to talk. Overnight, an Israeli delegation comprising its top defense officials is set to land in Washington for talks about this looming offensive into Rafah, something, Lindsay, that the Biden administration continues to call a mistake.
The White House clear in its opposition. Matt, thank you. Ahead of that high-level meeting tomorrow in Washington that Matt just mentioned, Vice President Harris issuing the strongest warning yet to Israel. Harris said the U.S. has not ruled out consequences for Israel if troops do, in fact, go into Rafah. ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott tonight with more of her exclusive interview.
With Israel ready to launch an offensive into Rafah, with or without U.S. support, tonight Vice President Kamala Harris not ruling out consequences if they move forward.
Let me tell you something. I have studied the maps. There's nowhere for those folks to go. And we're looking at about 1.5 million people in Rafah who are there because they were told to go there, most of them. And so we've been very clear that it would be a mistake to move into Rafah with any type of military operation.
A mistake, but would there be consequences if he does move forward?
Well, we're going to take it one step at a time, but we've been very clear in terms of our perspective on whether or not that should happen.
Are you ruling out that there would be consequences from the United States?
I am ruling out nothing.
Those comments come amid a widening rift between Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Biden. Israel insists Rafah is the last major stronghold of Hamas. But Biden facing political pressure, warning an invasion of Rafah would be a mistake.
What we are seeing here, I think, with a forced famine is beyond our ability to deny or explain away. There is no targeting of Hamas in precipitating a mass famine of 1 million people, half of whom are children.
After Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called for new elections in Israel, Republicans on Capitol Hill speaking with Netanyahu virtually behind closed doors. In an interview with our Jonathan Carl, Senator Marco Rubio reaffirming his support.
You cannot have a country in which this threat continues to exist. They have to finish this job, and this fighting can end tomorrow. You want a ceasefire in Gaza, it's very simple. Hamas just surrender.
Rachel Scott joins us now from Washington. Rachel, I know that you also spoke with the vice president about reproductive rights as the U.S. Supreme Court hears oral arguments this week in a case that could impact access to the abortion pill. What do you have to say about that?
Yes, and the Supreme Court is expected to take up that case on Tuesday. At the center of it, a debate over whether the FDA should have approved access to the abortion pill mifepristone, which is used in more than half of abortions in the United States. In our interview, the vice president stressing the importance of abortion care remaining widely available, Lindsay.
Rachel Scott for us. Thanks so much. Tonight, one of the country's largest airlines, United, is under renewed scrutiny from the FAA after a series of recent mishaps. According to Bloomberg, the agency is considering limiting its routes. ABC's Faith Abube joins us now. And Faith, these are certainly drastic measures that the FAA is considering.
Lindsay, these potential restrictions would be substantial and effectively keep United Airlines from expanding its business, at least in the short term. Tonight, the FAA is confirming it has increased its oversight over the airline to identify hazards and ensure safety. But Bloomberg, which is citing unidentified sources, adding details, reporting that the agency is also considering blocking the airline from adding new routes and also restricting it from flying paying passengers on newly added flights. Now, the new report also adding that the FAA has already suspended the airline's ability to approve and promote pilots. This all coming after a series of safety issues recently. United has put its employees on notice, telling them to actually expect an increased presence of the FAA in their operations while still stressing that safety is their top priority. Lindsay.
This could, of course, have widespread impacts. Faith, thank you. Holland America says an investigation is underway with local authorities into the deaths of two crew members aboard a cruise ship in the Bahamas. ABC's Rena Roy has the details just in.
Tonight, an urgent investigation into the deaths of two crew members aboard a cruise ship in the Bahamas. The captain breaking the news to passengers.
He was audibly crying. It was It was shocking to hear that.
Holland America blaming an accidental steam release for the deadly incident inside an engineering space Friday morning during a week-long sail from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, while the ship was stopped at Half Moon Cay.
The entire ship turned somber. He asked for a moment of silence.
The cruise line identifying the victims as Joseph Tirado, an engineer, and Wawan Gusnawan, a wiper on the ship. Maritime law firm Walker & O'Neill sending us video that they say shows the engine room and was given to them by a former crew member. The firm says the workers were installing filters there when a steam compensator unrelated to their duties exploded, the room engulfed by steam. The lawyers calling the incident a catastrophic explosion combined with a series of mistakes in responding to the accident.
And tonight, Bahamian police confirming that they are investigating this incident. Lindsay?
Truly catastrophic, Rena. Thank you. A horrific mountain lion attack in rural Northern California has left one brother dead and another badly hurt. It's the first verified fatal incident of its kind in California in 20 years. Here's ABC's Zareen Shah.
Tonight, the chilling dispatch audio of a mountain lion attack in Northern California that left one man dead and his brother injured while hunting for antlers shed by wildlife.
We got a report of a subject attacked by a mountain lion. Code 3 Fire and Medical are en route now.
The El Dorado County Sheriff's Office says they received a call Saturday afternoon from an 18-year-old who said a mountain lion attacked him and his 21-year-old brother.
Medical is with the first patient, 18-year-old male, who last saw his brother, a 21-year-old male, pinned down by the mountain lion.
Deputies and paramedics on the scene within 20 minutes, finding the mountain lion next to the 21-year-old on the ground.
The mountain lion was facing the deputies, and in an attempt to get to the individual to render first aid, they discharged their firearms.
But it was too late. The older brother was dead. Fatal mountain lion attacks in California are rare. According to the state's Department of Fish and Wildlife, the last verified one was more than 20 years ago.
And Lindsay, as for that 18-year-old, he was rushed to the hospital. A family spokesperson says he's undergone multiple surgeries and is expected to make a full recovery. Lindsay.
Glad to hear that, Zareen. Thank you. There's still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday, including new autopsy reports for Riley Strain and why the NCAA took an extraordinary step, removing a referee at halftime.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Next tonight, a preliminary autopsy on Riley Strain shows no sign of foul play. The 22-year-old from Missouri was last seen in downtown Nashville on March 8th after leaving a bar. His body was found Friday in the Cumberland River. Police tell our Nashville affiliate, WKRN, Strain's death appears to be accidental. And when we come back, dueling jackpots, why there may be a run on lottery tickets. To the index now. There were no grand prize winners in Saturday's Powerball drawing, so the jackpot for Tuesday's drawing has grown to an estimated $800 million. Meanwhile, the Mega Millions jackpot is up to a whopping $1.1 billion. Good luck. And next, something unexpected that happened during March Madness. Referee Tommy Paris was removed at halftime of the NC State Chattanooga women's game on Saturday. The NCAA says she had an undisclosed background conflict. An online profile for Paris says she received a master's degree from Chattanooga. Another referee finished the game. When we come back, the nurses who turned months of care into a lifetime of love.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Finally, the nurses and the baby who changed their lives forever.
Taylor and Drew Darris are both registered nurses. They met while working in the neonatal intensive care unit at Methodist Women's Hospital in Nebraska. During the peak of the pandemic, they tied the knot. Both took care of a premature baby named Ella, who was born at just 23 weeks.
She was very sick. She was on a ventilator. There was times where the doctors would tell us, watch her. I don't know if she'll make it through the night tonight.
During the 8 months that Ella was in the NICU, Taylor and Drew became very attached to her.
She became a ward of the state. So that's when we kind of took over. Instead of being her nurses, we were her foster parents. I was holding her more. I was starting just to read her books and do those motherly things.
The guard that you had up prior to like protect yourself of not falling in love with someone else's child, it like just fizzled away. This child needs me and I need them.
Ella Shaw here.
Then a few months ago, Taylor and Drew officially adopted Ella. The little girl who was never expected to walk or talk will be 3 in May and is now thriving with her forever family.
What a love story. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Lindsay Davis. Have a great night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.